Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter number 9. Revelation chapter number 9. This morning we'll begin our thoughts in verse number 13 of Revelation chapter number 9. This will be the 24th message in our study of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." I think it's interesting to note that the sixth trumpet angel is the only one of these trumpet angels that God actually instructs to have a part in the event of the trumpet. In all the others, the angels sounded, the first five, the angels simply sounded the trumpet and the judgment took place. Here, the angel, the sixth trumpet angel, is actually instructed to loose the four angels which were bound in the great river Euphrates. You say, "Well, Brother Kirkpatrick, what is the significance of that?" Folks, I have no idea in the world what the significance of that is. I believe that it's there for a purpose. I wish I could tell you exactly what's in the mind of God there, but I do not know. But I do want you to note the fact that the angel, this trumpet angel, is actually involved in what's going on, instructed so by God. Verse 15, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That is, there were two myriads of myriads, or 200 million plus is the number of this army. And I heard the number of them. Verse 17, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Several things are going to happen at the midpoint of the tribulation period. The sixth trumpet, when this trumpet ends, this trumpet judgment ends, we will be at the middle of the tribulation period. Folks, at the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will then be known as the beast. And at the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will move from being a regional leader, if you will, to a world dictator. Do not be mistaken, though, on the fact when we say that the Antichrist is a world dictator, there will never be a time that all the world accepts the leadership of the Antichrist. Over the years, I've heard it preached on and taught on so many times. I've read so many books about the book of Revelation. And many people seem to indicate that, well, the Antichrist is going to be the world dictator and everybody's just going to fall in line and everybody's just going to follow him. Folks, that's not the case at all. There's never a time from the beginning of the tribulation period all the way through the end of the tribulation period that all the world just falls in line and follows the Antichrist. Why not? Folks, because Satan is in control of everything that's going on. Satan doesn't want tranquility. While he's promoting the Antichrist on some fronts, he's also promoting opposition to him on other fronts because the devil just wants to create turmoil and chaos in the world. He works against all that is in an effort to fulfill his own diabolical desires. Many things happen. We're on page 73 of your notes. I'm sure you probably found your place already. You notice I gave a short listing of some of the things that happened at the midpoint of the tribulation period. The breaking of the covenant by the Antichrist takes place at the middle of the tribulation. We see that in Revelation chapter number 11. There's an invasion of Palestine or the nation of Israel that takes place at the middle of the tribulation period. We see that in Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 and 2. There's an expulsion of the Jews out of Jerusalem. We see that in Revelation 12 verses 6 and verses 13 through 17 and other places. There's a setting up of the beast in the temple as God, Revelation chapter 13. There's a wounding and the resurrection of the beast or the Antichrist. Now folks, don't be confused. I've said this before. I'll say it again now. The Antichrist, we refer to the Antichrist, and that is one of the titles given to him. From the middle of the tribulation period on, he's known as the beast. The beast and the Antichrist is the same person. The Antichrist is wounded, and he is resurrected. And upon his resurrection, he's the beast. I do not believe that the Antichrist is actually killed. I believe the world thinks that he's killed. I believe that it's an elaborate scheme, but I do not hold the position that he's actually killed. He's wounded unto death, the Bible says. But I don't believe that he's killed. We'll deal with that when we get there. There's the casting of Satan out of heaven in Revelation chapter number 12. There's the slaying of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. There's the destruction of the great whore, Revelation chapter 17. That is that ecumenical religious system that's in existence for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. But the Antichrist destroys that religious system at the middle of the tribulation. Now, all of the things that I've just mentioned and what we're going to talk about in the sixth trumpet are the things that propel the Antichrist from being a regional leader, a leader over a revived Roman Empire, 10 nations, to being more of a world dictator. All of those things, plus the events of the sixth trumpet. Now, in chapter 9, verse 13, it says, "And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." This same altar was mentioned in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. The thought here is that, like some of the preceding judgments, that the judgment that's taking place in the sixth trumpet is at least partially in answer to the prayers of those that have been martyred for the Lord, and they were praying, "Lord, how long until you avenge us on those that dwell on the earth or on the earth dwellers?" And by the way, in the book of Revelation, that term earth dwellers is a reference, a general reference that references all of those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Verse number 14. "The sixth angel which sang to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." These are four demonic angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. They are not holy angels. Holy angels are not bound. Euphrates is one of the four rivers which flowed from the river in Eden. You read about that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. It's in this region of the world that Satan began his diabolical work against man. Now, folks, this is a most interesting thought. There are four angels that are bound in the vicinity of the Euphrates River. Now, these are no doubt demonic angels. They have not been bound or put in the abyss where we saw the demonic creatures come forth in the fifth trumpet, but they have been bound, no doubt, because of their illicit activity on earth and among men. It's my thought on this, without me spending, we could spend the whole lesson talking about this, and I'd love to do it, as a matter of fact, but I feel like we need to move on. I believe that these four angels, their sin was at a different time than those that were bound in the abyss or in the bottomless pit, the ones we saw in the fifth trumpet. But nonetheless, they had been bound by God, the Bible says, in the river Euphrates. Now, folks, that's an interesting thought to me. These angels are bound. These angels are bound right now. Right now in the Euphrates River, in what we would know as the country of Babylon. They're there now, awaiting the time when God will allow the sixth trumpet angel to let them loose to do what it is that they are going to do. We're going to see here in the sixth trumpet, we're going to see the torment of the first woe, which was the fifth trumpet. Remember, there's three woe judgments. The three woe judgments are the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgment. The torment of the fifth woe, or the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, is now going to give way to the massacre of the sixth trumpet, which is the second woe judgment. Verse number 15, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Folks, we've already seen 1/4 of the world's population killed in the first four seal judgments. We've seen an amazing amount of human life lost in all the other judgments that have taken place. The judgment of the sixth seal judgment, and then in the first four trumpet judgments. In the fifth trumpet judgment, nobody could die. Folks, people have been being killed by the millions, even the billions, and yet for 5 months just preceding this, nobody could die. At least no lost person could die. I believe that there was still the martyr of those believers going on during that time, but the lost people would desire to die and they couldn't do it. Now, it's going to be hard for them to stay alive. As I understand it, and as I base it on the world's population today, there's about 1 billion people going to be killed in this judgment. 1/3 of the world's population that's still left is now going to die in this judgment that's going to take place here. In verse 15, there's a lot of disagreement as to whether this time period is actually referring to the time period that the length of time that this will continue on, or whether this is a reference to the particular time when it will begin. Folks, I believe that it's both. I believe that God has so predetermined. He knows exactly to the year and the month and the week and the day and the hour when it's going to happen. And folks, it's going to continue on for that length of time also. I believe that that's an important time aspect in verse 15 that helps us in our overall time perspective in the book of Revelation. So, these four angels are loosed. They've been prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. Let's just call it 13 months right here. Let's just call it 13 months. So they've been prepared to continue on for a period of 13 months. Verse 16, "And the number of the army, the horsemen, were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them, an army of 200 million strong. Who are they?" One popular view is the army of China. Another popular view, of course, there's been much said about that, much speculation based on the population of the country of China today. It is said that it is possible for them to field an army of 200 million strong. Others say, well, it's not just China, but it would include China and the combined armies of China and Japan and Indonesia and India and possibly others. Folks, I don't hold any of those views. I believe that this army is a supernatural army of demonic beings that are led by the four demon spirits that have been and are now bound in the river Euphrates. I even believe that it's possible that the demon army is bound with the four demon leaders that are going to be loosed. Can't prove that from the Bible. You chew on that for a little bit though. But I believe that this is not a human army at all. I believe this to be a supernatural army of demonic beings. Now, let me just throw this out for your consideration. If you were to start reading commentaries written by, remember, when I talk about commentaries, I'm only talking about that which was written by fundamental Bible-believing men. I couldn't care less about those that are liberal and wanted to deny and pervert things. If you read those, you would probably come to the realization that somewhere around half of fundamental Bible commentators believe that this is a supernatural army, and about the other half would believe that it's an army made up of men, whether it be China or a combination of nations. I'm being a little unscientific there. The fact is, if I got real specific about it, probably among conservative commentators, there would be a few more, a little greater percentage that would believe that this is a supernatural army than would believe that it's a literal army of men. You'll have to study it, and you'll have to decide for yourself, and we'll continue to give some thoughts as we move along here. Now, supernatural armies are not unknown in the Word of God. In the book of 2 Kings, I want to turn back there for just a moment. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Now look over at chapter 6, verses 13. In chapter 6, verse 17, Elijah prayed. Now remember, my mind's racing here, folks. You're going to have to bear with me. Elisha, they came out, they realized that the city was surrounded by host of the Syrian army, a literal human army. Elisha told his servant, he said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "Don't you worry about it, because those that are with us," I'm paraphrasing now, but he said, and you can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 6. He said, "Don't worry about the Syrian army." He said, "Because those that are on our side are a lot more than those that are on their side." I bet the servant scratched his head for just a minute. You know, he said, he looked around, all he saw was the Syrian army, and he said, "This is it. This is not a good thing. We're in trouble now," you know, and all. And Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, I want you to open up his eyes. I want you to open up his eyes so that he can see what I've already seen." And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man," this is verse 17, 2 Kings 6, 17, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Now folks, that's no doubt a good army there. That is a good, godly, angelic host. But I'm trying to get you to see this. It's not unknown in the Word of God to have angelic armies. I believe that's exactly what you have in the sixth trumpet, the second woe judgment. I believe you have an army of demonic beings that is some 200 million strong that are led by the four Euphrates demons that are bound even now that will be loosed to lead that great demonic host. The Bible says verses 17 through 19, I want you to notice that it's not the horsemen, but rather the demonic horses that do the killing. The Bible says in verse 17, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of Jason and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth." The killing comes from their mouth, but they have the ability to hurt through their tails. The Bible goes on, "For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt." Now folks, here's a supernatural army. They've been prepared by God and unleashed by God, allowed by God, ever how you want to phrase it. But the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. Judgment is coming to this earth, and He unleashes a demonic army, 200 million strong, and they flood out upon the earth, and one third of the surviving population of the world is killed in this judgment. It is my position that this destruction takes place in about 13 months' time, and that it ends at the middle of the tribulation period. And I believe, folks, in the overall scheme of the book of Revelation, that it is this particular event, along with all the other events that I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, that propel the Antichrist to world dictator. Now, what happens to the demonic army? What happens to them? In the fifth trumpet, the locust came up out of the abyss, the demonic locust. They continued to torment men for 5 months, and then it ended. The Bible doesn't really tell us what happened to them. I speculated on it. It's my speculation that their bodies died and fell to the earth. I believe in Joel chapter 2, that's what it's talking about. The rotting corpses of those demonic beings stunk up the earth. The Bible talks about in Joel chapter 2 how that the stench rose up. But there's much speculation on my part or anyone else's part as to what happened to them. I believe at that time they were sent back into hell. What happens to this demonic army? Could I speculate for you for a little bit? Now, before I do that, could I tell you, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened. The Bible does not tell us what happened. The Bible tells us that it existed. The Bible tells us that they kill one third of the world's population. Now folks, please keep this in mind. Whoever you want this army to be, or whoever you understand it to be, whether you understand this to be a human army that's led by four demonic beings, and by the way, there's no arguing that. There's four demonic beings that are unleashed or loosed that are going to lead this army, regardless of what the army is or who the army is. What they do is settled regardless of who it is that's doing it. So don't be confused by that. The event's going to take place regardless of who it is. What happens to them? What happens to them? Let me tell you what I think. I believe it quite possible that they're ultimately defeated by the weapons of modern warfare. Now, stay with me just a little bit. Some men would see all of the events of this trumpet, of this judgment here, as being symbolic of modern warfare. I would challenge you to go out and find 10 commentaries on the book of Revelation and read all 10 of them. And in some of those 10, there's going to be some of those guys that are going to tell you in there that, well, this is talking about all this stuff, the fire and the brimstone and the smoke, while they say, well, it's obvious that that's talking about modern warfare. And some of you may hold that view and continue to. I understand that. That's fine. That's fine. I don't see that. I see this being just as supernatural as the fifth trumpet. And because, folks, quite honestly, because I see the fifth trumpet as wholly supernatural. By the way, there are some Bible commentators that even see the locust of the fifth trumpet as being totally symbolic and not being real at all. Well, if I held that view, I'd probably want to make this a human army also. But since I don't have a bit of problem in the world seeing those locusts of the fifth trumpet as being totally demonic in nature and unleashed from the pit, just like the Bible says, I don't have a bit of problem with seeing this as a supernatural army also, and understanding the language to be more literal than symbolic. That's the basis of my position here. I see the language of the sixth trumpet being far more literal than symbolic. You see, I see the heads of the horses as the heads of lions. I don't see that as symbolic. I see that as literal. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. I believe that the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Didn't say they had heads, the heads of lions. It was as the heads of lions. There was a, I would see in the symbolism there a certain fierceness to their look, and other things that we could say. They kill a third of the world's population and then they're gone. What happened to them? Well, I believe it quite possible they were defeated by the weapons of modern warfare. Here's what I see. I see a demonic army spreading out over the entire earth and going about wreaking havoc and destruction. Lives are being taken everywhere they go. All the armies of the world are fighting against them, including, by the way, the armies under the control of Antichrist. All the armies of the world are assembling themselves and they're fighting against this demonic horde that's spreading out. They hear that they're coming and death is in their path and people are being killed by the tens of millions. A billion people are killed. All the armies assemble and they fight them whenever they come into contact. They fight them. All the means of modern warfare being used. All the heavy artillery, all the planes, everything that they have at their disposal, all of their arsenal for war are being unleashed upon this demonic horde. In my mind, I see it as being a whole lot like the the locust that came up out of the pit. Remember, after 5 months, it was over with. I believe that man probably took credit for that. Man came up with some special poisons or whatever it was, and when they finally, when God had predetermined they would go for 5 months, and that was going to be it. And when they all fell down dead and the plague was over, man said, "Look what I've done. We won." I believe basically the same thing happens here. I believe man fights against this demonic horde with everything that he has and with all the ability to make warfare that he has. And the battle rages worldwide for the 13 months. And whether God allows the possibility of modern means of warfare actually killing any of these beings or not, I do not know. But when their time is ended, and ever how it happens, they stop their attack. Folks, I don't know what happens. Do they all just fall down dead? Do they all, they're demonic beings, do they all just disappear from the view of the earth dwellers? What do they do? I don't know. But I believe that man takes credit for their demise. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, why in the world do you say that?" I say that because of verses 20 and 21. I believe that man is emboldened again. Lost men are emboldened again by the demise of the demonic host. They think they've done it. And they have the assurance within themselves that they can continue to live in their sin and that they are indeed, I'm talking about lost men, are going to win this thing one way or the other. They're going to win this thing against God. At this point in the tribulation, men and women have had numerous opportunities to repent. They've had the testimony of the two witnesses, the ministry of the 144,000, the great divine judgments on earth, all the silent witnesses of Bibles and Christian literature that was left behind at the rapture. The sad truth is that many simply harden themselves more against God. And the Bible says, and the rest of the men, verse 20, that were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their sorceries, nor of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. In your outline, you'll see a list of sins that are prevalent in the tribulation period. I've given you a simple listing there and where they're found in the book of Revelation. The next page, I'm not going to turn to all of these things. I'm not going to read all these. You have them listed for you. There's devil worship and idol worship. There's murder, sorceries, fornication, thefts, fearful, unjust, filthy, unbelieving, abominable, whoremongers, liars, those who defileth, dogs. And you can read what I have there. The post-rapture earth will be a horrible and a frightful place. This is in your outline. The church is gone, as is the restraining influence it had on evil. Even God the Spirit no longer exercises His restraining ministry on lost man or demon spirits as He once did. There are no atheists now. They saw God on His throne in heaven, Revelation chapter 6. They've seen and heard angels in the sky pronouncing woe and judgment and preaching the everlasting gospel. In spite of all the evidence that God is real and powerful, they've cast their lot with Satan, who has convinced them that they can win over God. The harlot church of the day kills believers and promotes demon worship with sexual impurity as part of that worship. The past religious restraints on sexual freedom have been removed so that adultery and fornication, orgastic revelries and sodomy and lesbianism and every other form of sexual perversion has become commonplace. Associated with these forms of wickedness and helping to dull any pangs of conscience which they might bring, there's been a tremendous upsurge in the use of drugs. The word translated, look at verse 21, nor of their sorceries. The word sorcery is what I'm dealing with now. The word translated sorceries is the Greek word pharmakia, which basically means druggings. It's the source of our English word pharmacy and pharmaceutical. This same Greek word is translated witchcraft in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. Folks, that's interesting. The same word that's translated sorceries here is translated witchcraft. The word means literally druggings. There's going to be a worldwide use of what we would call illegal drugs during the tribulation period. Stupefying and hallucinatory drugs have always been associated with sorcery and witchcraft. They divest their users of the control of their own minds, making them easily available for possession and control by evil spirits. The selling of slaves and souls of men, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 13. In that day is no doubt mostly for sexual purposes with the money used to buy drugs. What a tragic plight. Lost man encouraged by Satan and his demons and unrestrained by Almighty God has plunged to the depths of depravity. Now he neither cares about sin nor does he desire to change. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, and Revelation 9, 22, and Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 are all places in the Bible where it talks about man hardening himself. If you're reading or hearing this and have never been saved, the Bible declares it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The sixth trumpet is over. The sixth trumpet is over. Supernatural occurrences are now commonplace in a daily activity on earth. All men know that there's a God. There's nobody standing up now saying that I'm an atheist. There's nobody standing up now, even Satan. Even Satan is not trying to tell anybody that there's not a God now. Here's what he is telling them. He's saying, there is a God, but we can beat Him. There is a God, but we can beat Him. He perhaps looks back on the fifth trumpet. And he reminds people, he says, remember those demonic beings that hurt men for those 5 months? He said, we finally killed them. Remember that great host that killed billions, but our military might finally prevailed and we won. Continue in your sin. Continue to go like you're going now. We'll win. We'll beat God. And lost man, unrestrained by the Spirit of God, has gone down to the depths of depravity that are simply unspeakable. And man has deluded himself to believe, because of the great demon activity that's going on around, lost man has deluded himself into believing that he can actually defeat Almighty God. Folks, over half the world's population has died now. We've gotten to the middle of the tribulation period. It's actually going to get worse. Can you believe it?